All right, so for today, you want to follow the theme for this week, which is afterlife, right? Afterlife. And you dealt with that in your morning Bible studies from Jesus telling a story about a rich man and a beggar. And one guy's in heaven, one guy's in hell, and they're talking to each other. It's a story Jesus is telling us about this chasm, this gulf that will not ever be bridged. One's here, one's there, and when you die, you're at your eternal destination. That's what the Bible teaches. It also talks about the poor, and it's just kind of interesting. I didn't realize initially, but the story that we'll be telling here as well today, Jesus is talking about afterlife, but he's relating it to the poor. So the rich man and the beggar deals a lot with how we give, how we take care of those who are poor, and so does the story in Matthew chapter 19. So if you have a Bible, you can go ahead and turn there. We're going to find Jesus and a rich young man, okay? And you've probably heard this story before, but I want to look at this as it relates to afterlife, not only as it works in us, but how can this be used in me to reach somebody else? How can God spurn what I hear today to help me help others know about him? So as we always do, I always like to talk a little bit before we get right into the scripture to try to set up where we're going. So the title today is, What Must I Do? And we'll address that here in a minute. But I want to play the role of a curious child here to start, okay? So just indulge me for a minute, if you will. Some of you have already crossed your arms and said, no, I'm not playing. Don't ask me questions, all right? But just indulge me here for a minute. You know what I'm talking about when I say a curious child? The child that, you know, at that stage of life where everything's a question? Oh, yes. Why? Why? Why is this guy standing up there talking, Mommy? You know, why do we show up at this building? Why did you put money in that little circle piece of wood? You know, they ask all kinds of why questions. Why did the sun go hide? Why do we eat chickens? Why is my bobber bouncing in the water? You know, all kinds of things. They want to know why. So I'm going to play Mr. Curious here this morning, and I want you to play along here, okay? I'm not going to ask you why. I'm going to ask you a little different question, but it's kind of along the same lines. That question is, then what? Then what? You ever had that conversation? All right, that happens for us too. So today's Sunday. Well, what are we doing tomorrow? Well, then what? Okay, so I'll ask you. So we're in this worship service now, learning God's word, reminding ourselves, being encouraged, challenged together. What are you doing after this service? Anybody? You're going to eat lunch, okay? So that's on the agenda. Then what? Oh, man, that was quick. That was almost as quick as eat lunch. Watch a ball game. Jesus Cardinals, right? Need to be careful, church. Need to be very careful. We're going to eat lunch. We're going to watch a ball game. What else are we going to do? We're going where? Going to die with your wife today. Okay. Somebody's going to run today. I see where you're headed now. Yeah, that's why I don't show up on Sundays. All right, then what? What else? Oh, we're going to take a nap, right? That's right. Day of rest. Jesus rested, and we should as well. Nothing wrong with a good Sunday nap. Then what? Then we're going to eat dinner, okay? And then what? We're going to get ready for the next day, okay? And we're going to get ourselves together for the next day. Okay, then what? Somebody's saying, I need to use the restroom, so we need to throw that one out here, okay? Somewhere between now and work tomorrow morning, need to make that stop. All right, then what? Ma'am? Rest for the evening, okay? So, and then God rested on the Monday too, didn't he? Yeah, I've got to also. Then what? That's Monday down. Now we're into Tuesday. All right, so you guys are getting to a place where you don't want to play anymore, right? It's like, this was fun for 30 seconds, now progress, okay? We've got the picture. Usually when you play that game with somebody, that's just how it happens. You get tired of answering the questions. And so what I start doing is grouping chunks of time together. So our kids say, what are we doing after church today? Well, we're going to have lunch. Well, then what? And then what? And then what? And then I start saying, well, then I'm going to work. And then you're going to go to college. And then what? And then you're going to get a degree and get a job. Then what? Then you're going to get married and I'm going to retire. Then what? Well, then you're going to raise your family and I'm going to die. And the question still remains, you know who said it? then what? Then what, right? And so what I want to look at today is how does the Bible answer the then what question as it relates to afterlife? All right? How does the Bible answer the question then what as it relates to the afterlife? And so let's go to Matthew chapter 19. We're going to be in verse 16. We're going to read through verse 22 here. We're going to find this conversation of a rich young ruler with Jesus. Jesus will go on to outline some things following verse 22. But primarily, we're just going to be in those seven verses right there. Matthew 19, verses 16 through 22. It says, "Now, behold, one came and said to him," somebody's coming to Jesus, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one's good but one, and that's God. But if you want to enter into life, then keep the commandments." And he said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Then the young man said to him, "Well, all these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So it is today. I want to try to break down this conversation between Jesus and this rich young ruler as it relates to what we know about the afterlife, our desire for the afterlife, and ultimately how we receive it and how we work to press that on to other people. Okay, so what must I do is the title. The little abbreviation here then is to receive life. So what must I do to receive life requires me to do a few things. And the first thing we're going to talk through is this. It requires more than just me believing in eternity. All right, to receive life requires more than just believing in eternity. So in the text here, we've got this rich young man, and he's approached Jesus with the most important question anybody can ask. So it's not what's for lunch today. It's not who's on the mound. The most important question is, what must I do to inherit or to obtain eternal life? Now, just by asking this question, we find some neat things out about this guy. There's some things that are going along good in his favor. So let's break it down for a minute. So initially, when it comes to money, this guy is wealthy. He's loaded. Okay? The Bible outlines him as a rich man. Now, who are the people, rich or poor, who are least likely to think about things after death? It's usually the rich. Right? If you'll go on and read verse 23 on there, you'll find that Jesus says that's why it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. So usually the rich feel self-sufficient. They feel independent. They're not thinking about anything after death because they feel like I've got it covered. I'm taken care of. So here's this rich young guy, and he's kind of blowing up that theory that the rich don't pursue God. Okay, now we need to be careful in all areas of life to not generalize things or group everything together. And we need to do that here with the rich. Just because somebody's rich doesn't mean that they can't go to heaven, right? There are plenty of wealthy people right now on this planet, many sitting in this room, most in this room, who are wealthy compared to the world, who are pursuing God, who are after Him. So just because you're rich doesn't mean you can't get in. It just means it makes it a little more difficult. So this guy's rich, and yet he's interested in things beyond riches. His riches haven't satisfied. We also know about this guy that he is young. Okay, so who tend to be the people who are least interested in things after death? The old or the young? The young. All right, so usually those who are young think I'm going to live forever or I can deal with all that stuff later. Right? I mean, right now I'm just going to school or I'm hanging out at home or I've got this job or whatever. When I get older, then I'll start addressing some of those things. But for right now, I'm just not going to take time to care about that. And yet this young man kind of blows up that theory because he's young and yet he's interested in the afterlife. Okay, what happens after he dies? And then he reveals this about himself. He believes in some type of eternal existence. Okay, so we know he's not a Sadducee. He believes in something after death. And so what I want to do is look at how Jesus responds to this guy as it relates to realizing that believing in eternity is not enough. It's important, but it's not enough. Let's go to verse 17, Matthew chapter 19. He says, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, then keep the commandments." And so as Jesus replies to this question, he doesn't say to this kid, "You fool, don't you know all there is to this world is today? I mean, don't you know that when you die, you're done?" No, he's not making those kinds of comments towards him. He doesn't say, "Don't worry about life after death because it doesn't exist." And so he's going to reply and he's going to give this guy some instructions on what he should do if he wants to enter into life. And we'll hit those in just a few minutes. But in just real simple terms here initially, we find Jesus assuring us of life after death and how he replies to this guy's question. If there were no life after death, Jesus wouldn't say, "Then follow these commandments," right? If there were no life after death, Jesus would have said, "Just live it up because when you die, you're done." So just in a real simple way, just how he replies, he assures us that there is life beyond this brief existence. Eternity is very real. Something else also to notice here, just as a side point, this young man asks Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit what? Eternal life." And in the very next verse there, verse 17, Jesus says, "If you want to enter what? Life." So the question is about eternal life. Did Jesus just not hear him very well? "I don't want to know about life. I'm living life. I want to know about eternal life." No, what Jesus is saying is to be living and not have eternal life rooted in you is to really be dying. So some people today, apart from Christ, would say, "Man, I'm living the life." No, you're not. You're dying the death. And until Christ comes within you, there is no eternity in your heart. And so he addresses here in a beautiful way, eternal life is not just after death. Eternal life begins when Christ enters. And that's why I said what I said earlier. This is forever, right? So maybe get a new hairstyle. I don't know how that works out in heaven. But we're friends forever, and we're going to be worshiping forever, and we're going to be working, and I don't know how that works out in heaven, but I certainly don't want to be sitting in a lazy boy for eternity. I believe we'll be working. I believe, as Jesus teaches, the Bible teaches, there are those who will be ruling. There's things to govern. There's actions that we'll be a part of. But he says it's not just eternal. It's something that begins when you first receive it. And so in answering his question here, real simple, Jesus affirms that eternal life is real. Now, while it's true, those who do not believe in Christ will never look for eternal life, right? All they'll believe is when you die, you're done. So if you believe that, you'll never look for Christ. It's also true that just because you believe in eternity is not enough, right? A lot of people on the planet. Here just a few years ago, a poll said 76% of Americans believed in life after death in some sort of form. So just to believe that there is something beyond this life doesn't mean that we inherit it, obtain it, or receive it. And so Jesus outlines, that's great that you have a desire for something beyond this life, something eternal, but just having the knowledge that there's something beyond death isn't enough. So it's not enough to just believe in eternity. So to receive life can't start there. So let's go secondly then this morning. To receive life also is more than just desiring to receive it. It's more than just desiring heaven. So I asked you earlier this morning, right, when we were getting ready to sing, how many of you desire heaven? Right? And everybody's like, "Oh yeah." I mean, there's just, and some days really strong. A just desire to be with the Lord and a desire to be in that place of completion. Desiring, though, heaven is not enough to receive it. Okay? So this rich young guy, he believed in it, and he also proves right here that he desired it. Now, was this a guy that just desired an answer to a question? And he comes to him and says, "Good teacher," so he knows that he has knowledge, but is he just looking for an answer to a question? No. He's wanting to obtain. He's wanting to receive. He doesn't just want a fact. Don't just hand me a truth and then I can go away and tell people this is what the afterlife is like. He wants to receive it. He wants to own it. He wants the assurance of what is after death. And we can see his desire in verse 20. Let's go back to Matthew 19. Jesus in verse 18 outlines the commands, right? And it's the last six of the Ten Commandments as it relates to how we love other people. And so he gives him the commands. And then in verse 20, the guy responds, the young man, and says, "All these I have kept." What do I still lack? So how would you have responded? All right, Jesus, how do I obtain eternal life? And he says, keep these six commands. If you felt like you kept those six commands, would you walk away? I think if that's all he said, I would have been satisfied. Do this, X, Y, Z, and you're fine. Okay. Well, this young man knew that there was something beyond because he felt like in his heart he was doing these, although Jesus exposed that he wasn't. He felt like he was pursuing these, and ultimately we find that his desire was just not enough. But he asked the question, what do I still lack? Okay? And so there's a pursuance there. Jesus, I've heard what you've said about these commands, but there's still got to be more to it. He desired that assurance of eternal life. And so here's the thing. If his desire would have been enough, Jesus would have said, hey, young man, that's fantastic. I'm glad that you believe in eternal life. I'm glad that you believe in life after death. And I'm glad you desire to know these things. So come on in. Is that how Jesus replied? No. And so in verse 21, here's Jesus speaking back. Hey, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. So this rich young man's desire, though it was correct, it was not enough. If it would have been enough, Jesus would have said, come on in. He wouldn't have given him another command to go follow. And so we see here, desire is not all that is necessary. Desire is good, but it's not enough. There's a band that many of us enjoy. They're called Third Day. And most of their music I like. There's one song, though, that they've written. And you ever talk back to the radio? Come on. All right. the lead singer's name is Mac Powell. And so there's this song, and I always say, come on, Mac. Come on, Mac. You got to do better than that song. And the song starts this way. It says, I want to sing a song for Jesus. Lord, for you, I want to sing a song. Okay? And then the next verse, he says, I want to praise the name of Jesus. And so when I hear that song, I usually say out loud, well, then sing the song. I mean, why write a song about what you want to do? If you want to do it, do it. I want to praise the name of Jesus. Then praise the name of Jesus. Don't talk about what you... Now, when you go on to finish the song, he sings holy, 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 and it's the song of worship at the end. But at the beginning, I'm like, come on. It's not just desire, right? Am I worshiping the Lord if I have a desire to do so, but I never worship? No, just because the desire is there doesn't get the job done. I want to praise the name of Jesus, but if I don't praise his name, is he being praised? No. So desire is not enough. Though I may desire to worship, though I may desire to praise, though I may desire to sing a song, desire does not get the job done. Desire is great. Desire is needed. But desire is not enough. And here's the truth of the matter. Let's bring this back to afterlife. Everyone would always choose heaven over hell. There's not a person in their right mind who could see heaven and hell who would go, and I'll take hell. Right? So that means everybody, if they were to see and they were to believe, everybody would desire to be where? Will everybody be in heaven? Desire is not enough. Desire is not enough. The sad reality today, church, is that many will spend their eternity in a godless hell with a desire for heaven. So this young man didn't have a desire problem. He had desire. He had a bigger issue. Many will spend eternity in a godless hell, but not because they desire to be there. See, here's the reality of heaven. Heaven is not a place for people who don't want to go to hell. Because if it were, then who would be in heaven? Everybody. Heaven was not, it's not fire insurance. I don't want to go to that place of torment and regret, so get me there. Nobody wants that. Everybody would choose that. But it's not about desire. Belief in eternity, that's good. And sometimes it starts there as God draws people to himself. Desire for things afterlife, that's great. But there's more to it than that. See, somewhere along the way, I have to know God. Somewhere along the way, I have to evaluate my heart and see, do I love God most? Is He first? Is He who I adore? Is He who I wake up and cherish? Is He the one that I breathe for? Or is He just an addition to the possessions and the relationships and the things of this world? It's not about desire. It's beyond that. It goes to knowledge, knowing Him, not just facts, relationship, personal. And then loving the Lord with all our heart. And that's third. So let's progress there here this morning. If we want to receive life, it requires us to know and to love the Lord with all our heart. So as Jesus is talking to this young man, He's exposing his heart. Okay? As Jesus deals with this young rich man, He's exposing his heart. So don't get lost in the wording. At this point, has Jesus been crucified? No. Has Jesus been dead? No. Has Jesus been resurrected? No, not at this point. So Jesus wasn't addressing those things here and yet. But don't get lost in the verbiage, thinking that the way that I get to heaven is by following some commands. All Jesus is doing is exposing His heart. Right? Jesus teaches, if you love Me, you'll obey Me. And so it's an evidence of a heart that loves God first and most. So Jesus is not implying for 1 minute that to obtain life, we must do good. Right? That's His response. So that's what it sounds like. What must I do to inherit life? And He says, or eternal life. If you want to inherit life, then keep these commandments. And then He lists 6. I've kept all those. Well, then follow this one other command. So hear me well. If the young rich man had followed that command and went and sold all he had and gave it to the poor and came and followed Jesus, it wouldn't have been his obedience that saved him. The obedience is revealing what's in his heart, that You are My Master and I submit to You above all things. So You want me to sell? You want me to move just as You told Abram to get out and go to another country? Then get me out of here and take me where You want me to go. That would have proved his heart. So it wasn't about doing good so you get in. Good deeds follow those who love the Lord, but good deeds don't earn us heaven. Nor is He implying for any minute that we can obtain eternal life by paying for it. So you make X amount of dollars, why don't you designate 10% of what you make to give to the poor? Is that what Jesus is teaching? You can pay your way into heaven? No, once again, He's just exposing his heart. Jesus knew something about this rich young man. This guy said, I've kept all those commandments. One of those commandments says, don't covet. You know what coveting's about? It's about doing harm to your neighbor. I'm not as interested in you as I am in me, so I'm willing to take from you to give to me, and that's going to bring harm to you, and I'm okay with that. And Jesus said, you've kept all these commandments? And the young man said, yes, I have. Had he? No, take what you have and go give to the poor. And the man says, no, I can't do that. I'm not willing to use what you've given me to serve my neighbor. All he's doing is exposing his heart that he's not the guy that he thought he was. So he's telling him, listen, your sincerity is insincere. What you believe yourself to be in your arrogance, I've kept all of these. If he had been honest with himself like you and I would have been or should be, we would say, Lord, I have not kept all of these. And I need some help here. Because in my sinfulness, I have mistreated people. I have committed murder through hatred. I have committed adultery through lust. I have stolen, or I have done things that are dishonoring to my God, as those last 6 commandments outline. Ultimately, we see this young man not willing to submit to the commands of Christ because he loved his wealth. And what that shows is his heart. So let's look at a command here. God gives us all sorts of those, but He sums them up in some pretty simple ways. 1 John 3:23. Here's what God says. This is His command. This is God's command to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. So what's the command initially? It's to believe. This is His command to believe in the name of His Son. The one sin that we can't be forgiven of is the sin of, I don't believe in You. It's disbelief. I'm breaking a command. And so right here, to believe in the name of his son is where it starts. And this guy just simply wouldn't believe. John 17:3 talks about how this belief works out in our knowledge. Jesus is praying to his Father. He says, now this is eternal life. Here it is. That they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And so what do we got here? We've got a personal knowledge. We know God. We know his son. We love God. And we're living for him. See, eternal life, sometimes we talk of it as a place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is life. And wherever he is life. And wherever he is not, friend, is hell. The rich young man here was asked the question, go take all that you have, sell it, give it to the poor, and come follow me. And verse 22 says, when the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. I want you to think about him for a moment here. Don't you know there was a gnawing in his spirit? That's why he comes to Jesus and says, I want something after life. I know there's something after this life here, and so how do I obtain that? How do I get it? There's something within him that is longing for that. And Jesus lays out for him how he gets it, and now he's accountable. Now he knows how to receive eternal life. And the Bible says he goes away grieving. It says he goes away grieving because he had great wealth. I don't think he was sad because he was loaded. He was sad because now he knew what was required and he wasn't willing to pay. He wasn't willing to give all to Christ, to surrender, and to follow. So what do you think happens in his heart? What happens in your and my hearts, our hearts, when we don't get the answers that we want or when we don't submit to the answers that we do get? Does that answer just kind of go away? No, man, that answer is fueled. That passion, that longing is intensified. And so this guy walks away. He came to him excited. What must I do? And he goes away with heaviness of heart because he has the answer and he's just not willing to submit. Did he desire eternal life? Yes. Did he believe in eternal life? Yes. Would he miss eternal life? Yes. Why? Because he loved the things of this world more than he loved God. Never about a command, always about a heart. Listen, heaven is real. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Not because I say so, but because God has said so. And that's where we place our hope for salvation. That's where we understand our purpose as a church. That's where we receive promises that satisfy our soul. That's where we learn about things after death. God is the author. He's the one who has determined these things. Therefore, he's the one who knows. So heaven is real. Hell is real. What also is real is this. Every one of us within this room will spend eternity in one or the other place. And so what I pray we'll do here for just a moment is to listen to the sobs of the rich young ruler. I mean, when I think of grieving, I just don't think of a little tear and, oh, there, it'll get better. It's not that big a deal. When I think of grieving, I think of sobbing. I think of a brokenness that's just incurable. Listen to the footsteps walking away. Look at the tears. Listen to the sobs. See, in that moment, he walked away grieving. Here's what I wonder about this guy. There came a point in his life where his temporary wealth ran out. And there came a point in his life where hope of eternity was forever gone. and you think grieving, walking away from Jesus was difficult, I wonder as he gasped his last breath, remembering, submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ is how I gain eternal life, and I'm unwilling to do that. What sorrow, what heaviness of heart, what eternal regret and brokenness. I pray that we'll hear his sobs. See, because maybe today you are that person. I said earlier, it's so easy to get caught up in the routine of life that time just slips away from us. Then what? Then what? Then what? Then what? There's going to come a point where I'm in my plot. I haven't bought it yet, but I've got a piece of ground around here somewhere. Somebody will put a stone on it, and people may visit, they may not. Within 100 years, nobody in my family will even remember my name. No big deal. When that is a truth for you, friend, then what is in store for you? What are you assured of? What confidence do you have today of eternal life? You say, oh, I believe it exists. Well, that's good. And oh, I definitely want to be there. I mean, I want to be in heaven. I don't want to be in hell. That's good. But have you received life? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? You don't get muddied up with teachings of culture or teachings of man. Thank God today there is a way. And Jesus said, I am the way to the Father. The way, believe it, I'm the truth and I am life. And apart from me, you will not come to the Father. Maybe for you today it's that day to receive Jesus Christ. You say, well, how do I do that? It's real simple. And it's wording. It's transformational. And it's working. We've all sinned, the Bible teaches, every one of us, and we've come short of God's glory. The result of that is I've been separated from God because of my sin. And God says, I'm not willing for you to be separated from me. So here's what I've done. I've given my son Jesus to pay for your sin so that if you'll repent of that sin. Repent means that you confess it and you turn away from it. You're walking a new direction. And you'll confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Not just that he's a teacher who teaches facts that are good and true, but that he rules me. He owns me. I live for his honor and glory. If you submit to him, confess. He says, you call to me and I'll save you. Maybe today you'd like to call out to the Lord. Just want to remind you, God loved us so much, the Bible tells us, that he gave his only son so that whoever believes in him won't spend eternity in hell, but they'll have life. So Jesus didn't come to this world to say, do X, Y, Z, you bunch of sinful people, but he came to this world to save it. And that includes me and that includes you. Maybe today you would just like to receive Christ as your Savior. Do you have life? Maybe you're here this morning and you've already received life. Here's what I want you to do. I want to encourage you for a moment to thank God for the work that he's done within you. Thank God that somewhere along the way there was a conversation just like there was with this rich young ruler. And Jesus said to me, here's how you can be saved. Here's how you can be assured of eternal life. Here's how you can know about things after death. It's not because we were a priority over other people. It's because somewhere along the way he met us and he wanted us to know the truth and we've responded. Take a minute and thank God for the work that he's done in your life. Take a minute and thank him for what he's preparing for you. Thank him for the assurance you have. Take a minute when you pray. Give thanks. But I also want to challenge you today to take a moment and think through the eternal reality of this world. Who in your world, who in my world needs to hear these truths? Have you got anybody? So friend to friend, what are we waiting on? How many lines have you stood in? How many hands have you shook? How many hugs have you offered to a family member or a friend who was standing next to a casket of somebody who died like that? We don't have assurance of life here. We can have assurance of a life after our death. Who in your world needs to hear? See, sometimes, man, we can major on minor stuff, can't we? And we can get all riled up about carpet color, about pews or chairs, lights on, lights off, paint color. We can get riled up about music, whatever. We can major on the minors. When are we going to start majoring on the majors? Heaven is real. Hell is real. Every person will spend eternity in one of two places. And God has not just granted me peace so I get in. He's granted me peace so that I can share others about the way. Maybe today you'd pray, God, give me an opportunity. Just give me that. I want to talk with this person. I want to have that conversation just as Jesus did with that rich young man.